We're very glad to see you at the service today. We appreciate your presence. We pray the Lord will be with us. Just to read to you the words of Revelation 22 and verse 12. "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." We pray the Lord will bless that verse to our heart. It's in keeping just with the theme of our Bible study this morning. We're turning to the words of the hymn number 1 in our book. The hymn number 1, "Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise." The words of the first hymn, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Let's just seek the Lord together in prayer. We'll seek the Lord at the throne of grace. Heavenly Father, we come to thee in prayer, thankful we're able to approach your throne. We rejoice in the throne of grace. We thank you today for Christ, our Savior. We rejoice in him who is seated at thy right hand and is interceding and pleading for us. We rejoice today that we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. We praise thee for one that can identify with us and understand all the challenges and all the struggles of this life. We want to pray that we would know the Saviour to be with us today. We would ask for his nearness. We plead for his presence to be known and sensed and felt in thy house this day. We ask thee now, Father, that you would be pleased to come down. We ask thee to hear our cries. Come and tabernacle with us this Sabbath day. Be in our midst. Be amongst us as thy people. What a difference, Father, that would make to this service if we were just to sense that the Lord is near to us. We ask thee, Father, to help us through the meeting. We come today in our need. We feel very much our weakness. We ask for the power of God to be upon this service. We cry, Father, come and endue us today with power from on high. We ask thee to help us to lift our eyes away from ourselves and our circumstances. We plead today for a sight of Christ. O God, we ask that we might see him whom our soul loveth. Take away all the distractions of this life. Take away the blindness and the scales from our eyes. We pray, Father, as we meditate today upon your word, that you'll let us see the Saviour. You've said that the scriptures, they are they which testify of me. We thank you for this book that speaks primarily of our Saviour. We remember that as he went to Emmaus, that he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Lord, come and open the book to us. We pray that you'll reveal yourself to us today. And we pray too that you'll give us a sight of Christ as we gather around the table. We thank you for the opportunity for the breaking of bread. We remember those that went to Emmaus that day, that he was made known to them in the breaking of bread. O God, give to us that same experience we ask of thee. We pray that we would have close fellowship with thee today around the table. We plead that you'll draw near to us. We pray that it might indeed be a time of communion with thee, our God. Teach us a little more of thyself. And, O God, we pray that our hearts might even be touched as we think of what you've done for us, how you've saved us, delivered us from the wrath that is to come. We're asking thee, Father, to own these meetings today. May the hand of God, the power of God, rest upon them. We pray that you'll come down upon us today in blessing. Remember the service tonight. We think of the Orange Men and Bands Men, some of their families too, that will gather with us. We pray, Father, come and guide through that meeting. Come and speak in it. Thank you for the opportunity even to present the gospel to these men and to some of their family also. Lord, we pray that your speaking voice might be known. We pray for a sense of the Lord at work, for the power of God to be felt. We pray, Father, that it might be evident in that meeting that you're speaking, even to hearts, just at this time. We want to pray, Father, that it might even be a gospel meeting where some of those folk are born again, even of thy Spirit. Draw in others too. Thank you for the outreach that was conducted during the week past. Remember, Father, the homes visited. What a mercy it is for homes in this district to have the message of the gospel brought to their very door, distributed in their very home. O God, we pray that people will not be careless towards the things of God. We ask that you'll give a concern. We pray the fear of God will come down upon this city and upon the inhabitants of it. O God, we're asking that you would do the same. We believe you're the same God, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do, Father, in this city what you did in the city of Nineveh those many years ago, even under the preaching of Jonah. We remember how the city turned to God from the least to the greatest. Lord, we ask, do that same work, that mighty work of power and revival. O God, come and do it. We pray in this city of Armagh. Thank you for the going forth of the gospel in Killaloe at the Holiday Bible Club. We praise thee, Father, for your hand upon those meetings, help given to all of the leaders and the workers, and help given to our brother David as he spoke. We thank you for so many children that attended those meetings, and we thank you for their interest, the questions asked, their attentiveness. O God, we ask thee, speak to those little ones. We're conscious of so many influences upon the children in the land, ungodly influences. O God, we thank you for the opportunity just to influence the children of this community for the things of God. Pray that, Lord, those children would be saved. We ask that not one of them would perish, that not one of them might be lost. We ask thee, Father, that you'll remember their families too, that even as the children go home and tell of what they heard at the meetings, it might be a powerful witness to the hearts of other family members as well. We remember the plans for the Holiday Bible Club here in the church next month. May the hand of God be upon those plans, and remember the children of this city. O God, let them be drawn in. We pray for a great interest in those meetings. We pray, Father, for many boys and girls to come along to hear the gospel. Remember Sister Gillian as she will speak, even as she prepares at this time. May she know the help of God just in these days. We thank you, Father, as well as we think a little farther afield. Thank you for bringing our sister home in safety even for these weeks. We pray that she might be helped and encouraged and refreshed during this time here at home with the family. We're mindful, Father, of the mission team that went out to Uganda and with the blessing that they have known. We thank you, Father, for using that team, the souls that were counseled and brought to Christ through their labors. Thank you, too, for bringing them home in safety despite all of the challenges with which they were faced on that journey. And Lord, we're mindful, too, of tragedies in our land. And we remember, Father, that awful incident at the school in Wimbledon in this past week. And we're conscious even of evil in this land, of those that have been murdered and stabbings that have taken place. Lord, we think of the evil days in which we're found. Remember the days of Noah. There were days when violence filled the earth. And Lord, we're conscious of those days around us. The Savior warned that those would be the days and what would characteristic the days that would precede the returning again of our Savior. We think of the words that we have read from the Scriptures. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be. And Lord, help us to be watching. Your word exhorts us to watch and to wait for the coming again of the Savior. In our prayer, Father, as we think of these days, our cry would be, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, hear these, our earnest cries, and continue with us now. We pray, guide us through the meeting. Come and lead us by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The 124th Psalm, please. It's the words of the second version. Now Israel may say, and that truly, if that the Lord had not our cause maintained, if that the Lord had not our right sustained, when cruel men who us desired to slay rose up in wrath to make of us their prey. So the second version of the 124th Psalm, it's in the page 121 of the book, if you're using the book, and we'll stand again as we sing, please.
Hey.
Together in the scriptures in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the fourth chapter of Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica. We're going to break into the chapter just at the 13th verse. That's a short section we're reading this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The 13th verse. And we're going to read down into the fifth chapter of the letter as well, just the opening verses. First Thessalonians 4 and the 13th verse. Let's hear God's word. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. We'll end there, and we know the Lord will add his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. I'll highlight to you those that believe in what is called the secret rapture. If they're reading that passage, they always end at verse 3, because verse 4 of chapter 5 contradicts all that they believe and all that they would want to teach. They like to emphasize the second verse, the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Both Peter and Paul describe the coming of the Lord as a thief. A thief comes unexpectedly. But notice carefully what Paul goes on to say. But ye, brethren, he's addressing the Christian, the child of God. Ye, brethren, are not in darkness. The reason we're not in darkness is God has given us his word. Even the dark end time age, he's told us the things to look for and to watch for that will indicate the coming of the Savior. So ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. The secret rapture taken away at any moment, that's not taught in the Word of God. We should not be surprised when the Savior comes. We're not in darkness. That day should not come suddenly. It should not overtake us as a thief, because we ought to know the Scriptures. We ought to study those portions of the Word of God in keeping with the second coming of the Savior. We're glad to see you in the Lord's house. We want to welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you're visiting, you're especially welcome. We're glad of your presence. We'd like to especially welcome our sister home from the mission field just for these few weeks. I'll pray that it'll be a time of refreshment and encouragement to her. It's good to see the children and the young people that are present in the service this morning. We thank you for coming along, and we want to pray the Lord will bless you and encourage you in the meeting today as well. And also those that are watching the service on the live stream, we're very glad that you have been able to join with us. We thank all of those that helped with the Killalea Holiday Bible Club back at the end of June. It was very encouraging to hear of the numbers that attended, of the very good meetings that were had, that all the children listened so well, so attentively, the help that was given to her brother, Mr. David Wilson, and so many questions too that the children asked about the stories, the messages that were brought. The Lord certainly answered prayer for those meetings and encouraged all of the workers in their labours. And we pray earnestly for reports, even over the summertime and months to come, of those children coming to know Christ as their Saviour. We're thankful, too, for all that supported the outreach work on Tuesday night past. We appreciate your faithfulness month by month as you go forth into the city and the community round about. May the Lord bless your labours and encourage you, give you souls. And we pray that others will come into the meetings here as a result of that. I want to thank you for your prayers for our time away. We had a very good time with Matthew and Emma and her family there in the United States. 2 weeks ago, Sunday the 25th, we were down in Winston-Salem for both of the services. The Reverend Kimbrough was up in Calgary in Canada helping to supply the pulpit. It's about a 110-mile journey down from Raleigh to Winston-Salem, so we drove down that morning early and back again in the evening. We had very good meetings with the folks there. It was nice to visit the church. We've known the Reverend Kimbrough for many years, maybe something in the region of 30 years. The Reverend Derek Bowman is the associate minister there, so he led the meeting. And of course, in the United States, they have a song leader. Dean Smith is the name of the song leader there that helps the congregation with the singing. But we appreciated very much the welcome the Reverend Bowman gave to us. He and his wife and family extended hospitality to us that afternoon, so it was very nice to to spend just a little bit of time with them. We went to the Creation Museum in the Ark that week from the 27th through the 29th. We spent 3 days there. It's approximately 45 minutes from where the Creation Museum is down to the Ark. The Creation Museum is just in the outskirts of the city of Cincinnati, and then it's 45 minutes drive down to Williamstown in Kentucky to where the Ark is. And we had a very profitable time at both places. The visit to the Ark especially is exceptional, just to see it and to stand inside it, to get an idea of the scale of the work of that Noah and his family actually did. They used what is known as the royal cubit in the building of the Ark there in Kentucky. Generally, the Ark is believed to be the distance between the tip of your finger to your elbow, around 17, 18 inches. Of course, some of you have a longer forearm than I would have. But the royal cubit, they add on to it the width, the span, the width of the palm of your hand. So that increases it to somewhere between 20 and 21 inches. So that means that the Ark there in Kentucky is a little over 500 feet in length, 510 feet. So it's quite, just to use the American word, it's quite awesome to actually see it and to stand beside it, to stand in the shadow of it. The creation, or the answers in Genesis people, they bought 800 acres down there at Williamstown, 800 acres, and they intend to develop that in future time. The reason they didn't build the Ark down beside the Creation Museum was they couldn't get any more land down there, and the land on the outskirts of the city was much, much more expensive. So they're already clearing a site for a new building. They have been given a model of the city of Jerusalem, and they're going to house that model within that building. It's going to be a new attraction. And they're planning then after that to build a replica of the Tower of Babel. So that would be something very, very interesting indeed. Already they receive between 850 and 1 million visitors on average every year. So it's quite significant. People from all over the world, just not the United States of America. There's a number of new hotels that have sprung up in the area since they built the Ark there. And most of those hotels have been built just to accommodate the visitors, the people that have been coming into the area. We were told that the hotel that we stayed in, that virtually everyone that was there, and they had no vacancies maybe for weeks to come, but everyone that was there was going to visit the Ark Encounter, as the name is given to it. So as we said before we went away, we will show a presentation of the visit, just to let you see. We'll let you see the church down there at Winston-Salem, and also the museum and the Ark. I may possibly do two presentations. I'll do a presentation of the visit, and then possibly a second one after that, of some of the very significant things that you see and learn as a result of a visit to that Ark encounter. So keep that in mind, and pray the Lord will give us a little bit of help and direction in that. Remember, please, the communion service immediately after the meeting this morning. We do invite you to come, remain for that. We're conscious it's a busy time, even a busy day, but we do invite the Lord's people to remain for the breaking of bread. Remember the service tonight, the prayer meeting downstairs at 6, the gospel service at 6:30. Remember, it is the annual Armagh District Orange service. The Orange men and the Bands men, some of their families will be present with us. We encourage you to attend. Remember that we generally keep at least the center of the church free for the Orange men and the Bands men so that they can sit together. So if you keep that in mind when you come into the service tonight as regards the seating or where you will sit yourself. Just to emphasize, there is no midweek service this incoming week. No midweek service on Wednesday night because of the holidays and how the holidays fall in the week that lies before us. Next Lord's Day, the 16th of July, the service is 11:30 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. I have to go down to Corrigarry for the morning and afternoon services next Lord's Day. The afternoon service, there is the local Orange service also. It's an annual event nearly every year. The Orange men come to the Corrigarry Church. They bring their tea with them, and they have their tea in the hall before they march back again. So they have asked if I would come and preach at that service. So I'll do the morning service. I'm required as the interim moderator to go down and preach from time to time. So I'll do the morning service, the afternoon Orange service. The preacher here next Lord's Day morning will be the Reverend Alan Smiley. Member recently retired a year or so ago from the Ballygown Church. Mr. Smiley will be here in the morning. He was a former minister of the church in Corrigarry. And God willing, I'll be back up to do the gospel service then in the evening. The offering that was taken last Lord's Day for Alejandro Bernabeu, Alejandro that labours in Corticas Nuevas there in Spain, home for a few weeks. They were home for a family wedding, and he's taken the opportunity to do some deputation meetings while they're here. So the offering that was taken, so far the total is £1,880. We thank you sincerely for your very liberal giving to that offering. Remember, you can still add to it if you haven't had opportunity to do that. Just mark the envelope for our brother and place it in the plates, or one of the plates at the doors. Remember, all of the magazines, the latest Vision magazine is available. That's the summer edition. The latest LTBS quarterly magazine is there at the doors as well. The latest Watching and Waiting magazine from the Sovereign Grace Advent Testimony. There's a message in that magazine by the Reverend Dane on evangelism during the millennium. And keep in mind the Reverend Barnes' book on the 23rd Psalm, 695, and all the proceeds of that will go to help to pay for the holiday for the girls at the Deborah House. Remember the baptismal service, just to remind you of that. The Tandragee's holding Tuesday the 26th of September. To emphasise, if you would like to be baptised at that meeting, the time will soon come round, especially with the summertime and the holidays. But if you'd like to be baptised, please speak to me about that as soon as possible. A couple of things just relating to the Whitfield College. They're going to recommence this autumn the Christian Workers Training Academy. It will start on Thursday the 12th of October. Remember that they moved that around the province to make it easier for folk from various churches to attend. So this time it's going to be in Tandragee, so that will give you an opportunity to attend those lectures. It costs £100 for 14 lectures. They include Bible survey, children's work, Christian doctrine, Bible interpretation, church history, and personal evangelism. The course is designed to help you serve the Lord, especially in your local congregation. So there's some cards at the doors with the details, and on the back of that there's an application form if you would like to apply to go to the Christian Workers Training Academy. The other matter relating to the college is that the planning application for the new college facilities at Tandragee, that has been approved just in recent weeks. It's a great answer to prayer. We do thank the Lord for his goodness. You may have noticed that in the local press. I know that the Armagh Eye carried quite a full article, gave full details with regard to it. So just to make you aware of that significant step, the planning approval has been approved, and pray the Lord will prosper the next step as the work goes out to tender, and then the building work itself commences. The mission team that went to Uganda at a very encouraging time, they were blessed, and they were a blessing to the folk at Emmanuel. Six souls were saved, six of the children and young people. That was a great blessing, very encouraging. They had a bit of a challenge coming home. Their flight on Wednesday evening out of Entebbe was delayed, so much so that they missed their connection in Doha. So they had to stay in Doha in Qatar for an additional 24 hours. And the airline put them up and provided them with food vouchers. But even then, when they came on Thursday evening, there was further delays to the journey home. So it was quite a challenge for them. But we're thankful they're all home safely and had such a good time. The Kriscadons are settling in well. The preaching was done this last couple of weeks by the Reverend Wilson that led that mission team. So the Reverend Kriscadon will be settling into his ministry there. There was a shock in the community around the mission station in the past week. The local council chairman died very suddenly. We knew Samantha John very well. He was a member of the board of management of the school. The board of management includes representatives from the community, and the local chairman is one of those representatives. He was just in his late 30s, felt unwell. He took a Boda Boda down to the health centre. Boda Boda is the motorbike taxi. They helped him in through the door, and even before the doctor was able to examine him, he passed out into eternity. So it has shocked the community. You can appreciate that. He came from a Roman Catholic background. His children are at the school. So do remember that matter. Remember the family. Pray that the Lord might speak through that matter. Mrs. Werner has been in hospital during the time we were away. We're glad that she's now back to her apartment there in Strong Court in Portadown. We're thankful the Lord has kept his good hand upon her. Mrs. Gillespie is still in hospital, awaiting some further scans. We're glad that she's made a little bit of an improvement. So do continue to remember Mrs. Gillespie and pray the Lord will guide the doctors and give the family help as well. We want to sympathise with the Reverend Stephen Hamilton, the minister for Lehigh Valley Congregation in Pennsylvania in the United States of America, especially in the home calling of his wife, June. She had been very ill with cancer, and she had passed away on Friday. She had been very ill in recent weeks. In fact, about a month or so ago, they thought that June was going to pass away at that time. They had been married for over 42 years. The Reverend Hamilton was brought up in the Martyrs. Many of you will remember his father, Billy, quite a character that he was. He was the caretaker of the Martyrs for many years. June was from the United States of America. The Reverend Hamilton ministered in Mount Marion and Mount Marion and Belfast, Rutherglen in Scotland, before going to the Lehigh Church there in Pennsylvania. So as a congregation, we're deeply saddened by the news. We extend our deepest sympathy to the Reverend Hamilton, to his daughters Rachel and Rebecca, and their families as well. So please pray for them that they will know the Lord's grace and strength and comfort just at this very sad time. 482, please, is the hymn just before the scripture are brought. 482, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, and I am the clay. Mould me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Just the first two verses of 482, and we're standing to sing, please. Thank you. Let's just pray together, please. Father, we would make these words the prayer of our hearts today. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. We pray that you'll put your hand upon us, upon our lives, and mold us and shape us into the vessels that you want us to be. We ask that we might be vessels unto honor, fit for the Master's use, those that you can use mightily, those through whom you can work, Lord, those that you can take up and make a blessing to others. We ask that you remember those that are unwell at this time. Be with Mrs. Werner. Keep your good hand upon her. Thank you that she's been able to return home again. May it please thee to strengthen her at this time. Remember Mrs. Gillespie. Draw near to her. May she be conscious of your presence today. We pray she'll know the strengthening touch of God. Guide the doctors. Give them help at this time. Sustain the family too. And guide them in all the decisions that have to be made. Remember the Hamilton family. Oh God, be near to them. May they know the comfort of God. And we thank you for the memory of our sister. We ask you to remember the Reverend Hamilton and the girls. Sustain them especially. And Father, you've given to us another reminder that our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Abide with us now, Father. Give us the infilling of thy Spirit, the endowment of power as we come to the preaching of your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 4, please. I direct you to the words towards the end of the chapter. The 15th and 16th verses. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. I want us to think of the question, what will happen to the believer at the second coming of the Saviour? I can emphasize to you that the second coming of Christ is a vital doctrine of the Scriptures. Never let anyone make you believe otherwise. It is a vital and a fundamental doctrine, one of the great fundamentals of the faith of the gospel. It's a very important fact to remember that there are 318 verses in the New Testament Scriptures alone that deal with the second coming of the Savior. So that will give you some idea of the emphasis, the prominence of this subject in the New Testament alone. That equates to one in every 25 verses, at least one in every 25 verses in the New Testament speaks about the return of the Lord Jesus. So this is something, men and women, that should be studied. Don't neglect it. There are some that want to discourage you from studying this subject. This is something that should be considered carefully, studied deeply by the Lord's people for our blessing, our understanding, our encouragement, and even for our challenge. Remember that John said that we should not be ashamed before him at his coming. How awful that would be. So studying the second coming is a purifying doctrine. It's something that will challenge you about your life and your walk and your service for Christ. And we want to seek to do that just for a little time today. There are different questions, vital questions, that can be considered about the second coming of the Savior. For example, what will his coming be like? What manner will his coming take? We have some answers to that in this portion. He's going to come personally. He's going to come visibly. He will come bodily. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's going to come certainly. There's not a doubt. I will come again. And we want to emphasize and impress those truths upon your heart. We can ask the question as well, what should we do about his coming. To many Christians, the answer to that is nothing. But that is far from the teaching of the Word of God. Remember, we're to wait for His coming. That's to be an active waiting. We're to be engaged in the service of Christ. We're to occupy until He comes. The Bible exhorts us over and over again to watch. And remember, you can only watch if you know what to watch for. If you study the signs, if you study the events, the circumstances that will lead up to the coming of the Savior. So there are many questions. Those are just but two. But the one that we want to consider today is, what will happen to the Christian at the coming again of the Savior? That's quite a broad question. It could be asked generally. What will happen to the nations at the coming of Christ? What will happen to the ungodly? If you're unsaved this morning, that's something that you need to consider very carefully. It says that He's coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. How awful that will be if you're out of Christ at the coming again of the Savior. We could ask, what will happen to Israel? What a subject that is. What will happen to Israel at the coming of the Savior? What will happen to the Antichrist? But we want to think today especially, what will happen to you as a believer, as a Christian? Remember that eschatology, that's the doctrine of the end things, the end of time. It applies to the end of the age, the end of the world. But eschatology also applies to the things at the end of your life or the end of your experience here upon this earth. So what will happen to you as a Christian when the Savior comes again? One answer to that is you'll be raised. Remember, we're thinking of those believers who will die before the coming again of the Savior. We will not all die. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, we shall not all sleep. Remember, the reference there to sleep is to death. But those who die, they're going to be raised at the coming again of the Savior. The Bible teaches the great truth, the great doctrine of the resurrection of Christ, and then the resurrection of us as His people. Remember that everyone will be raised again from the dead, but we're thinking particularly of God's people. Because He lives, we shall live also. You think of the Sadducees that were in Jerusalem in the time of the Savior. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They were unbelievers as far as this great truth was concerned. And sadly, there are many Sadducees around today, even in so-called church circles. Many unbelievers don't believe in the resurrection. But it's taught in the Scriptures clearly, plainly, repeatedly. At the end of verse 16, it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Let me emphasize that word, first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. It means that the dead in Christ will rise before the unsaved. That's one of the things that's contained within it. The position that I hold, we believe there'll be a 1,000-year period between the resurrection of the saved and the unsaved. The saved raised at the coming of Christ, at the beginning of His reign upon the earth. The unsaved raised then at the end of that 1,000-year period to stand at the great white throne judgment. The dead in Christ shall rise first. But it also means that they will rise before those who are living at the coming of Christ are caught up from the earth to meet the Lord in the air. But the emphasis, the dead in Christ shall rise. There's going to be a resurrection. They'll rise again from the dead. You think of Job. The book of Job is believed to be one of the oldest books in the Bible, one of the oldest books in the Word of God. And way back at the beginning of time, the patriarch Job believed and was looking for a resurrection of his body. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. What a statement that is. He's talking there about Christ, about the resurrection of Christ. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I had a set of Albert Barnes's commentary on the book of Job I found it very sad to believe that Albert Barnes didn't see Christ in those verses. They're one of the clearest statements of Christ in the book of Job, maybe in all the Bible. Sad to think of that. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And then he speaks about the second coming of Christ, and he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. There's the return of Christ, not just the resurrection. He speaks of him as his Redeemer. So there's his sufferings. He's our Savior. His resurrection. He liveth. He's going to stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, he's talking about himself, his own death. He's going to be buried, laid to rest in the ground. His body would be destroyed by worms, not by fire, not by cremation, but by worms. Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. Even though I'm going to die, I'm going to decay in the earth, in my flesh shall I see God. He anticipated and looked for the resurrection again from the dead. So there's going to be a resurrection, brethren and sisters. Your body, if you die before the return of Christ, your body will come back to life again. Think of the story of Lazarus in the tomb for 4 days. The Savior stood at the door of the tomb and he called Lazarus forth. Lazarus, come forth. Some of the commentators indicate if he had just said, come forth, that everyone in that graveyard would have rose again from the dead. But he specified, spoke particularly, especially of Lazarus. And that's an example, that's an illustration of what will happen to every believer at the coming again of the Savior. So what an encouragement, brethren and sisters, that is. Death will not have the victory. He triumphed over death, and he triumphed over hell, and we will share in that victory over death. What a prospect. What an encouragement, we're thinking, over this weekend, this incoming week of the victory of the Battle of the Boyne. We'll never lose sight of the greater victory, the victory of Calvary, what Christ accomplished, the victory that he wrought, triumphing over death. You think of a Christian burial, when we lay a Christian to rest, there's a great difference. When you stand at the graveside of someone that left no testimony behind, how sad, how difficult those funerals are, how sad and difficult that can be. But what we call a Christian funeral, a Christian burial, that person is laid to rest in the hope of the resurrection. The words of the committal that are generally used, they're laid to rest in the sure and certain hope of the resurrection unto eternal life. So you're going to be raised again at the coming of the Savior. Death is likened to sleep. This passage is one example of that. Verse 13, it says, concerning them which are asleep. Can I emphasize to you that description of death is only used of the Christian? It's only given to the child of God in the Bible. So I want you to think of that picture. The Christian's death is like a sleep. Think of the grave. It's a bed. And death is a sleep. And after sleep, you arise. After sleep, you awake. Sometimes you sleep a little longer than at other times, and some will sleep a little longer than others. But after sleep, you arise, you awake. And that's what's going to happen to you at the coming again of the Savior. He will display his mighty power and raise you again from the dead. You know, those that believe in cremation, or those that would want to promote cremation, especially those from an atheistic position, one of the reasons many of them want to be cremated is that they think that God will not be able to raise them again from the dead. It's not foolish, tragic. I want to remind you, men and women, the God that made you from dust, he made you from the dust of the earth, and he'll be able to raise you again from the dust, even if it's dust that was created by fire, even if it is the dust of cremation, be in no doubt about it, you will be raised again from the dead. Can I emphasize to you that there are two resurrections? In the book of the Revelation, chapter 20, it speaks of those that have part in the first resurrection. So those that have part in the first resurrection, that infers or suggests that there will be a second resurrection. That's what I said to you a little earlier, that the believers are raised at the beginning of the reign of Christ, the unbelievers, the unsaved at the end. There's the resurrection of the just, and there's the resurrection of the unjust. And the question I put to you today is, which will it be for you? Which will it be? I pray that you'll be among the just, that you'll rise from the dead onto the full experience of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. First time I ever went to America was in 1986. I was part of a party that Dr. Paisley led to the World Congress of Fundamentalists at Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. We flew into John F. Kennedy Airport in New York City, and the Bob Jones University sent their Greyhound coach up to bring us down. It was almost 1,000 miles, just a little shy of 1,000 miles of a journey. We drove the first night to the outskirts of Washington, and we stayed there for the night, and then continued the journey for the whole of the next day. One of the memories of that journey down, and it was, as you can appreciate, very profitable to have Mr. Paisley with us on the bus. We drove past a very large, a vast graveyard in New York City, and he looked out with a burden on his heart as he looked out at that graveyard, and he said, "I wonder how many will rise from that graveyard to eternal life." You know how hard sometimes, how indifferent we can be to the souls of men and women. If you read the story of Mr. Moody, I'm reading this year with my daily devotions, a book of devotions that was prepared by Moody's daughter, Emma. She took them from his sermons and from his writings, just short little challenging thoughts. One of those little thoughts, she mentioned that every time he walked into a graveyard, whether it was to take a funeral or to visit the grave of a family member, he would think of the time when the dead shall rise from their graves. Wonder if you ever done that. You walk into a graveyard, we can be so taken up with what we're doing, all that's going on in life. Do you ever think about that time? Let me urge you to consider it today. That time when the dead will rise again from their graves. What's going to happen to the believer at the coming again of the Savior? We're going to be raised. There's going to be a resurrection. Now, that's just the first answer. There's three more. I'll leave them. We're at the time to finish. There's the communion. There's a full day, the service tonight. We'll come back to those other answers in the will of the Lord. I encourage you to give that a little thought. Think yourself. Take a little time yourself to consider what you think will happen. What do you think some of the other answers that we will give to that question will be? That will be something good for you to ponder and to study just in the next couple of weeks or so. Hymn 153, please. "Our Lord is now rejected and by the world disowned, by the many still neglected and by the few enthroned, but soon he'll come in glory. The hour is drawing nigh, for the crowning day is coming by and by." Hymn 153, we'll stand as we sing. I'll go to the door after the first verse. If you're not able to stay for the communion, you'll have opportunity to leave just at that time.
Coming by.